You know, quick note there too, David. By the way, I want to let you know, David Rico, completely out of control during the break. Just, thank you, Dustin. I appreciate that.
Rico
is just out of hand. But, you know,
I think we all know.
The note.
Mike threw things at me?
No, it was a piece of paper. The note about the Pistons, and it's not anything we can get into today, but I said this last week. I'll say it again to you. Look, I'm not telling you they're world beaters, but after the 0-4 start where we went, uh-oh, is this happening again? They're playing good basketball. They're competitive. They're in these games. I'd argue their record should be much better than it is. They blew the game to Charlotte. They blew the game to Houston. They blew the game against Milwaukee. And yet, they're going for 3 in a row tonight against the Bulls. So I'm not telling you that watching Pistons basketball will change your life. But in fairness to them, they are playing better. They are more relevant. And I know one team that wears kitchen knives on their feet that isn't. Because if you're asking me who's more fun to watch between the Wings and the Pistons, it's the Pistons. It's not close. Watching the Wings, I may as well turn on a 1994 Devils game with the left wing lock and the neutral zone trap. It's awful. Awful. Now, I know it's Victory Monday. I know we have things to do. I want to apologize for ransacking. Can we say that? I will save my MSU slander for later.
No.
Do it now. I just don't know what to do. Because I find myself falling out of love with the sport, but then I watch something like I watched Saturday where I watched my team openly quit. I watched a coach not paying attention. I swear it was Sharone Moore in a skin suit. The time management at the end of the first half, it was like Scooby-Doo episode where I was waiting for Jonathan Smith to unzip and it was like John L. out of there. Like, hey, it's me.
Yeah.
Like,
always weird when the announcers are saying, what are you waiting for? Call the damn time
out. And then again, and I know, and Rico's going to get upset at me, so I don't want to do this topic, and it's a Lions Victory Monday, but damn it, every time I see a rendering of someone else either updating their stadium or rebuilding their stadium, and then I just picture dirty, rusted concrete at Spartan Stadium. We don't have an NIL push. We don't have a stadium push. We don't have a team. We haven't had a sack in 6 weeks. I mean, are you kidding me? They flashed the stats Saturday that no team had gone 5 games without a sack in Division I since 2005. Well, what 6 games? What, are we going to have to go back to Benny Oosterbaan? It's an embarrassment. And the team quit. They laid down and quit. And then it upsets me twice as much because, you know, the players are getting paid. That's why you get upset when professionals quit, because you're getting paid. And it's like, if we were in Jacksonville, I'd be livid, because if we suck, it's one thing. But you quit and you showed your ass. You look all cheeked up in the locker room like Mike Tyson. And it's not right. And then you know what the kids are getting paid. And you're like, how am I supposed to not be upset? Because I'm not mad at them that adults are dumb enough to hand the money. But then you got handed the money. Your job's to play football. And they didn't even try. And I can't just take the picture out of my head of Brett Bielema's disgusting face. And I've had it. I feel like the program is at a complete, like a inflection point. And if they don't get this right this offseason, and if they don't get it right the next 2 weeks, it's going to be 3 years without a bowl. They're going to be walking in the woods. And I'm just waiting to just wake up to a news article that Nick Marsh is going to Alabama. That's all. Okay. There's nothing else I can say. No. I don't know what to tell you. I feel like my school isn't serious about trying to win. And then that makes me care less. And then you yell at me because I have to care about the sport because of what I do for a living. It's a crisis of conscience here.
You are such a projector.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't yell at you for what?
How about those Lions?
Please, we should record the breaks and you'll know the truth, people. I agree with you on most of the things that you say. I don't think that they quit, Mike. I just don't think that they were talented enough. Quitting means you actually are that good, you just chose not to do anything. I just don't think, especially looking at that offensive line, they're any good. I don't think that they can block. I don't think they can do anything. I mean, it was like...
Right. Who put the roster together?
Oh, this is that's on the coach. Because kind of like how I said about Sharone Moore, you came out of spring knowing that was your quarterback situation.
Yep.
You came out of spring knowing this is your offensive line group. Spare me the whole, well, two guys got injured.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
You should have more depth than that. You should have known.
NIL, I don't want to hear it.
You know what? We're really lacking here. Let's go out and try to pick up at least two more players in the portal, see what we can do.
Here's my message.
I just don't think that they're good. I don't think that y'all, they didn't quit. They're just not that good.
Here's the message I would say if you're a Spartan fan. Just understand this. If you want to bag on me because I like Jonathan Smith, fine. But go back to when he was hired, what I said to you. I have no concerns about the football man and the work that I saw him do at Oregon State. My concerns were he don't know nothing about nothing out here. He don't know the conference. He don't know the landscape. He don't have any relationships. He don't have a staff that has relationships. And if you think, and I said this when he was hired, if you think you're going to build the way you built at Oregon State and do it here, we're dead. And what I'm seeing now is I still have no legitimate direction for where MSU's NIL program is. I don't even know what it's called. Like Michigan's, it's Champion Circle or something like that. I mean, what state? We tried to coin it. We had to create a drop for it. We don't have it. You got no idea what you're doing there. You got no meaning. There's nothing for the fan base to get excited about.
Well, and Friday night. No, that's it right there. No, what you just said right there. Because if there was something to get excited about, and you can be like, okay, you're going to build upon that. Okay, great. But you can't guarantee me that you're going to see an improved Childs to Nick Marsh next season.
Right. And again, guys, I understand you're going to be like, what is a stadium or what is an NIL or what is it? It all has to work together. I had a conversation with a former player this weekend. And look, we had an agreement on this. Is MSU's run like a government agency? They're not run like a business. We don't have businessmen and women. We don't have serious people. We just don't. So I can't possibly sell you something better. And it's like, Rico said this from the very beginning, so it's not me doing gotcha radio with Rico. When the sport did a 12-team playoff, here's what you were giving up. If you had your third loss by November 1st, no reason to care. And that's not a healthy place. Because this league doesn't have 32 teams and a draft pick to root for. This has 134 teams. And you've rendered everything useless. And now I look at this and it's like, what's the point of any of it? If State is not going to be serious from a facility standpoint, they're not going to be serious with the NIL, they're not the head coach, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. This is not the guy that was at Oregon State. It's not, Rico. I promise you that. And I love what he built, and I love how he did it. He was a disruptor in the Pac-12. Here's your problem. He's doing stuff that, is he going to unzip and it's going to be Jim Caldwell? I mean, the decision-making and the clock management and the not challenging plays that are blatantly obvious. I don't know, man. And I know, well, he's going to need time. Well, here's the problem. You don't get time in the NIL era. You don't. You're either a have or a have not. You're the hammer or the nail. You're the you-know-what or the condom. Figure it out, because I tell you what State is.
And
get serious or get out.
Yeah, in the new playoff situation, if you're not challenging for a playoff spot 3 out of every 4 years, challenging. Like, we joked about, oh, look at all these different teams. Okay, yeah, in the Big 12, I don't know who's going to win, but you know what? They're still interested because each has a path to going there.
No, and
in
the
ACC, they have a path to making the playoffs. If you're not in that conversation, then, yeah, what are you selling your fan base?
And again, okay, well, like, no, Arizona State wouldn't be 9-2 in the Big 10. Well, it wouldn't have lost 6 out of 7 either. You're going to tell me Kenny Dillingham and that poverty-ass program in the desert is something special? They're not. It's very difficult to take. And the Indiana thing is a one-off. And I don't use it as an example. Because you know what Cignetti's... You know what's funny? They went and signed Cignetti. It doesn't feel all that different right now from when State signed Tucker. And it ended up being too soon. Because Cignetti isn't going to have 13 super senior starters to bring over from JMU next year. And the odds are you won't find your Barry Sanders, a.k.a. Rourke or K-9, in the portal. And you just gave him an 8-year extension at $8 million per. For what? And whether the LSU rumors were true or not, they were there.
Funny how it's always LSU rumors. to get coaches paid.
Yeah, and again, Cignetti's 64 years old. Right, that's my big beef with it.
It's how Tuck got paid.
That's it. I got it out of my system. You got anything to say, you can take a text. You do whatever you like. I'll just tell you right now, I hope stadium's empty Friday. I hope Alan Haller is sitting there alone watching that game. Right here. You don't want to get serious. You don't want to get the NIL together. You don't want to raise tens of millions of hundreds of millions of dollars. You don't want to renovate this dump. You want to make sure the networks stick it to you. They don't even leave 20 on the nightstand. And you're playing another game on a Friday night in November. Well, here we are. All right, Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything. I'm sorry. I needed one segment in 4 hours to just vent. But the rest of the day is good because the Lions are, they're a juggernaut. And we'll get back to that business momentarily. David, some ticket text first. What do you have?
Mike and Rico, it sounds like Smith needs some time to figure it out to recruit in the Midwest. How long does he get? 3 years?
Are you asking me or reality?
Reality.
It's probably endless. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me.
I think 2 years and cut his mic off for a second. 2 years, go 6-6 and make a bowl game, because you can say progress. It ain't great progress. But then you are going to be allowed to take another step next year, and hopefully you can be a more competitive team. You're trying to go and get a playoff spot. But after 2 years, I think he will lose all support, and people are going to be ready to move on. Coaches won't get 3-4 years anymore. It's two. Especially when you look at new coaches who walk in and they start winning immediately, like it or not, you start looking at your neighbor and looking at their lawn saying, well, how come we don't look that way? And that's when fans are going to start getting upset.
From Jacob in Plymouth, is it possible that the weakness of the defensive line hid how bad the offensive line was and vice versa in practice?
Wait, say that again?
What they're asking is, in practice, is it possible that the weakness of the defensive line didn't show how bad the offensive line truly was? Because they're going against a bad defensive line.
So bad offensive line going against bad defensive line, you had no idea. No, because you're a coach. You should know what good is. No, I get. I'm not attacking you or the ticket. As a head coach, you should know what good is.
Regardless of what you see bad on the other side.
If you play this way, we're not going to win. Like, that's not going to work.
As an MSU diehard, I can be excited about future seasons of Aiden Childs. He's gotten better every week. Seems to have a ton of upside. That's about it, which is sad. I'm with you.
No, you could turn your mic back on. I just needed you not for that one segment, because I was going to say something that was going to cause you to drop a chair.
No, I was being Doug Karsh. I was being respectful. You told me to turn my mic off. I turned my mic off.
I love how he was sitting there, no mic, and he's looking at us.
Why is he just...
I was waiting for permission.
Send Michigan State football to the MAC. That is from Johnny D. Someone else, Jason, says, State isn't serious about athletics, period. Tom Izzo is also holding the school hostage, and he should be gone, too.
How long is he going to be the highest paid state employee to run a NIT-caliber program? No, seriously, I mean, honestly... No, here, another middling year on tap. Doesn't it look that way? You were there when they were down 10 to Bowling Green. Oh, look, the bottom line is this.
Homecoming.
Here's the ceiling right now for MSU's two breadwinners.
Let me guess.
Make bowl, make tourney. I ain't interested.
You're not too far off. You're right. No, it used to be Final Four. Okay, Sweet 16. Let's just make the tourney. And for the bowl, yeah, because they haven't done, aside from 2021, it hasn't been good.
Well, good. You know what? I hope Alan enjoys a Friday night crew of about 28,000 people in that stadium. Because, the sport is moving at back to the future speed, 88.7 gigawatts or whatever it was. This sport is moving, and we ain't moving with it.
1.21 gigawatts, Mike.
Okay, whatever. I love how Kenny knows that. Jesus.
That's my contribution to the show today, you boys. I'm out of here.
He's going to go chart some Corsi for the game tonight. Go Dawgs.
That's because Kenny has things to worry about tonight at 10 o'clock. That's why.
Oh, that's right. Honestly, I'm at a point I hope the Wings lose to the Sharks. I need somebody fired. I need something. Have you tried to turn the Wings on and watch this?
I have.
Paint drying.
Yeah, me and Kenny had a pack last week. I think it was Thursday or Friday. The Wings and the Pistons played the same day, West Coast. And I said, yeah, I watched the Pistons, and I couldn't watch after the first period. I was done. Couldn't do it.
They're terrible to watch. They don't create chances. They don't do anything. They're awful. Awful. Every metric. All right, let me get
to Kenny. They score every time I watch.
Okay. I want to have Kevin will get the first, last, and only word on this, and then we're going right back to Lions Victory Monday. Kevin, the floor is yours.
Wow, I feel special. Thanks, Mike. You've totally captured the emotion around the football program right now, and I would caution anyone to avoid the old school thinking that we can look at somebody who's good on our team and think about projecting them to being good in a couple years, because this spring and summer is going to be, it could be, a summer of attrition. And if we are losing players like we think could happen to better programs, we're going to just be a feeder program for other schools from here on out. And the best we can aspire to be is Purdue or Minnesota. Minnesota's at least winning bowl games. I just don't see a horizon that looks good for us. We're not serious in any of the places you need to be to have a winning football program. And I just don't see a bright light on the horizon like some people do.
No, and Kevin, I would question anyone who's still doling money out for season tickets. It is unfathomable as someone who had them for the better part of two decades. And by the time I left, I had like the seats I dreamt of when I was a student there. And I was just, they weren't serious then. They're not serious now.
No, there's no fan experience. There's no enthusiasm around the program. And Jonathan Smith, you know, as good as he could be with X's and O's and quarterbacks, he just doesn't have the flavor. And I blame Tucker for a lot of that because he brought so much. That they wanted to tone it down, and they really muted the whole program with that hire.
Oh yeah, and now you can't news. You got better. You get better news out of the Kremlin than you do Michigan State football. There's nothing to report on. It's like a black hole.
The funny thing though is, yes, he royally screwed up, but Tucker got it. He understood the assignment of we're Michigan State. We got to be vocal. We got to try to attract people to come and donate and really be a part of this program.
Right. The problem was everything else. So you're not wrong. The idea of Mel Tucker made sense. The actuality.
And it's kind of like you hire the players coach and then, wait, we need the hard-nosed coach. They went to 180 degrees. We need everything that's not Mel Tucker. Here's Jonathan Smith.
No one cares. So I'll just shut up and we'll get back to Lions Victory Monday. More on this later in the week, probably, because I hate everything. Hey, guys, football season's here. Elevate your tailgating. Not that you can do that at State because all they do is play Friday night games. But you can do it for your Lions, a Super Bowl caliber team.
Oh, I was going to say, what about the Giants?
Go to hell. All right, thank you for indulging me there momentarily. Let's get back to some Lions conversation. 52 to whatever. I mean, the Jags just... It's one thing to lay down and die. It's another when the opponent wants more blood. And the Lions are establishing a culture here of kill everybody, which I kind of dig because you could say for 70 years they were pacifists. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are now. Oh, you're not ready to play? Too bad. Dead. And yeah, I mean, if you want to critique it and say I don't need Jared Goff at risk or starters at risk up 36 in the fourth quarter, you're right. But I'm not going to fight anybody over it. JMO, I hope you enjoy the envelope coming in the mail. You can't grab your dinkers. It's not how it works. We're in the NFL.
Yep.
It is frowned upon in this establishment. But overall, it was incredible. And look, I'm not going to sell panic about Anzalone. Does it hurt? Of course it does. Do I believe he'll be back based on what I'm reading? Yes. And frankly, this team, they don't care. Someone gets hurt, they find somebody else. And Jack Campbell will now assume an even bigger role. And he's shown real progress in year two. So we roll with it. And Rodriguez is back. And I'm sure they'll find some unemployed plumber from St. Clair Shores. And he'll come in and play like an all-pro player.
Well, let me give you the update here because the Lions have made a few moves. Anzalone's on the injured reserve. Ify Malafonwu is off. He's been activated off the injury reserve, and they signed David Long to the practice squad.
There you go. They'll have Malafonwu eat a couple extra plates at Thanksgiving. He'll play linebacker. I mean, at this point, they do whatever they want. This is their year. It's their time. They're winning the Super Bowl. I'm all in.
Seems that way.
Go to Nick, 97.1. Nick, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. I will just start by saying, as an MSU alum and diehard Red Wings fan, thank God for the 2024 Detroit Lions.
Yes. Yes.
Rico, you are right. And it's crazy to think about this, but I actually do believe that right now, this current team, we are watching history. And here's why. Whenever you look back at historic teams whose legacies live on forever, you know, via football life, 30 for 30s, et cetera, there's always one common theme. Those historic teams are made up of a collection of highly regarded elite football guys. And that is what we have in Detroit. Whether it's the GM, Brad Holmes, coaches things like Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, Goff, Amon-Ra, Gibbs, Sewell, Branch, Hutch, Kirby, Joseph, everybody. Like, you just look at this team, and I think when all their careers are done, you're going to look back, just like we do with all these historic teams, be like, oh, my God, like, they were stacked. They were special. They were amazing. Mm-hmm. And then they perform every week like they do, showing that they are just top tier in terms of what football should be and look like. And for it to happen to us, Detroit, on top of that, with our history, I mean, you can't make this up.
No, and that's why I said I think this is going to be a special team, and that's why I comped it to a team that is special in the 99 Rams, the greatest show on turf. And when you look at the numbers 10 games in, you see they kind of got similar numbers between the two teams. Now, can they continue this and win a Super Bowl? We have to wait and see. But as of now, Nick, yeah, you know what? Yep. If you're a Lions fan, you're actually a little bit ahead of where the Rams were 25 years ago.
The key now, fellas.
Enrico,
I'll leave
you with this.
No, Mike. Nick, you first. I can wait. Believe me. Go ahead.
Okay, and you'll like this. Similar to you, Mike, from the beginning of the year, it's not an if for me. This team is winning the Super Bowl. This team is everything you need to win a Super Bowl, has everything that makes a Super Bowl team great. They are winning the Super Bowl this year. You can put in the bank.
That's how I feel. And I don't think you're wrong to feel that way, Nick. And I don't see a reason not to, if you believe it, say it. What I was just going to say is, look, we're sitting here on November 18th, right? We're heading into week 12 of the NFL. This is the stretch drive where you can't win the Super Bowl here. But in many cases, you can lose your best chance at it. Injuries are one, but the other is the home field advantage card. For an indoor team, one win at Green Bay will not change my mindset. That, yes, it helps that I saw you go out and play well at Green Bay. But does that mean I'm confident about going to Philadelphia for the NFC title game? No. No, it does not. You can do it, but your best way is to play here. To earn the bye, to play here. Right now, you've entered the next 7 weeks, and it is all about keeping pace. You've got a one-game lead on Philly. You got to go 1-0 every week. Get the bye and get the games at Ford Field. You do that, I am as convinced as ever, no one is walking into your den and beating you. I just believe that in my heart. But man, I'll tell you, you got to go to Philly, and I got to put on the hamburger helper gloves on my quarterback, and we're outside. I don't want it.
Different animal.
And that's not a you thing, guys. That's any team that plays indoors. And it's been proven out over there. Hey, ask Peyton Manning. A lot of great Peyton Manning teams. The minute they had to go outside in New England, please. There was significant shrinkage. So the biggest step you've taken is you are a real threat for that one seed. That 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, maybe you didn't have that faith. You've earned the right to be in that conversation, control your own destiny, and now it's go time. Now the next mission, go to Indianapolis. Win by 1 or 100. I don't care. Win. You're casually 7.5-point favorites. My whole point to people, Rico, is just don't be seduced that it's always going to be easy. Just win. Don't stress out if it doesn't look pretty. Just win.
No, I don't think they're going to stress out, Mike, because I think what happened in Houston is going to tell a lot of people, no matter what, you're going to be in this game, you're going to find a way to win this thing. So, yeah, that whole, well, it's the NFL and any given Sunday, I kind of feel like David and I talked pre-show. It, kind of goes out the window with this team.
I think largely it does. But look, there have still been, you still needed a last second field goal to beat Minnesota. You still needed the comeback in Houston. You got beat by the Bucks. You were in that game against Seattle, or it was a pain in the ass for most of the day. Look, there have been, but are they generally living up to what you're saying and winning games on average by double figures?
Well, because what's built different about this team, they don't beat themselves. You're not seeing that false start penalty. Oh, my God, it's holding. We just scored a touchdown. No, bring it back. Offensive fun, holding.
Fun that you brought this up. Do you know the last false start they had?
No.
In Minnesota. Second quarter, Penei Sewell.
You know what? That Penei, jeez. They go, he's going to get cut. He keeps this up.
I was making a point.
I'm kidding.
They are remarkable at what they do.